Ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome to That's Hockey Talk. Boy, it's been a morning here, eh, boys? some trials and tribulations on the technical side, trying to figure things out. I'm your host, Nick Maroto, and I am in New York, Brooklyn, to be more specific, one of the five boroughs up here. Jeffrey Gorman back there in Indianapolis with Bailey on the ones and twos holding it down for us. And AQ, of course, out there in sunny, bright Arizona. How's everybody doing?
Real good. Real good.
Great. Playoff push is coming. Let's go.
And AQ, you have established that the offensive linemen as a group in the NFL are the smartest group of players that are on the field. You have proved that technically this morning. I just want you to know that.
I think that is an absolute lie. I mean, this was an absolute nightmare for about 10 minutes.
But you got it, though, brother.
I didn't help the process. I'm going to tell you that. I didn't help the process.
Hey, don't sell yourself short. You figured some things out there, some plugins. I was like, I'll call AQ. I used to work in IT. You had it down even before before you even picked up the phone. I was like, this guy knows what he's doing.
You guys are too kind, but I think it's full of shit.
Big and smart. Big and smart.
I mean, we are literally shoestringing this thing together right now.
Let's go,
I'm
boys.
To my hotspot on my cell phone in a hotel room in Brooklyn. Bailey's running the ones and twos back there. Gorms doesn't know which side's up when it comes to a computer.
What else is new?
You are across the country, and we figured it out.
And we're doing it. We are doing it.
Let's talk about somebody who hasn't been able to figure it out yet, AQ, the Arizona Coyotes.
Jeez, oh, Pete, AQ, what's going on with your club?
They're really disappointed. They just can't find the back of the net. And they've talked about it. They've had trouble scoring all year. Their strength has been goaltending of recent and in neutral zone defense. And they make it tough for guys to play, but they're losing the 2-1 games, the 1-0 games, because they can't put the puck in the back of the net.
You're trailing hot Colorado right now by 4 points. 2 games remaining. Any chance, AQ Shipley, any chance that the Coyotes can find themselves?
It's a shot in the dark at this point. They got to win 2, and Colorado's got to lose 2. And it's not looking bright out here.
It's a tall task, too, because I'm looking here. I look at the schedule. There's 2 games left, obviously. The season ends on Saturday, which is nuts to me that we've come this far. It seems like it's flown by. And Arizona has Vegas and Winnipeg.
Ouch.
In the last 2 games.
Yeah.
You could not pick
Colorado's got a little tough stretch there too, don't they? They got Winnipeg and somebody too, right?
Yeah, Colorado has Winnipeg, but then they have San Jose, who, as good as they are,
they've been struggling.
1-8-1 in their last 10, which is absolutely brutal, just limping into the playoffs.
Yeah, never a good sign.
Yeah, but key phrase, boys, in the playoffs. Key phrase. Okay. In.
True, and they're expected to get Erik Karlsson back for the playoffs, which is good news. I don't know if he's going to play in one of these 2 games over the weekend to get ready, but they are expecting him to come back for the first round. So that's great news for Sharks fans because they need it. They need something. AQ, how's Darcy Kuemper?
I don't know. He took a sword to the eye the other day. it certainly didn't look good.
So what happened? I haven't been able to watch much because I've been on the road. We're doing the road to WrestleMania thing. I've been on the RV with Pat, and we finally made it to New York. But I saw a couple tweets about it, and I saw just like some still images. It looked like he had a blade like through the eye hole of his mask.
The crazy part is, I think it was. I mean, Gorms, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm almost positive that it was during the celebration after the goal was already scored.
Right. That's what I'm hearing. The same thing.
Yeah. Which
you got sources, Gorms? Crazy.
I got sources all over. You know that. My naked eye on this one watching video. That's my source.
Coyotes are struggling here. It looks like Colorado is probably going to be the team. Do we think they get it done there?
Yes, I do. Colorado's playing hot. Yeah. IQ, I'm gonna go and let you go. This is a hot team. This is a hot team coming in. Still have the goaltending switch up there, playing good at the right time, getting hot into the playoffs. Love Colorado. Love their chances.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I like them. They're playing. They're such a fast team, especially that top line. I mean, it's incredible to watch, and they're playing hot at the right time, like Gorm said. And it's always interesting to see who plays hottest at this point in the game, because that's all that matters. And as long as you get in the tournament, everybody's got a chance.
Hey, real quick, Nick, my moment of silence, if you guys don't mind, do me a favor. Moment of silence for the Blackhawks and their fans.
Yeah, I mean, they gave it a run there. Here we go. Yeah, 1, 2, 3.
Thank you.
Yeah.
They needed it. They needed it. Sorry, boys. It ain't happening this year.
They gave it a run, though, huh? I mean, we talked about it on Bro Bets. The betting, their overs in games was like they had a run there of like 25 out of 27 games. They were over the 5.5, 6 goals per game. They were scoring a ton. DeBrinket, like a 40-goal year for him out of nowhere, which was insane. Chicago, I mean, the turmoil early in the year, they fire the coach. The GM is taking a lot of heat. They had the injury issues with Corey Crawford. I still think they're in good shape going into the offseason. They just need to kind of refresh the back end a little bit.
Yeah.
They've shown they can score with anybody. Back to Colorado for a second. Let me ask you this. Are you guys worried at all? This is what gets me. They have Grubauer in net, and he's been able to put together this run to kind of fucking drag them back into the playoffs. But this is kind of what he did last year with Washington. And then as soon as the playoffs came, he shit the bed the first two games. Do you think that's going to happen again, or do you feel better about it now that he's got the experience of playing in the playoffs last year?
Well, okay, let me go first. We've seen this movie before. We see what he does. You ride this mule as long as you can, okay? As long as he has fed some water, you stay on the back of that jackass mule and keep running. Up until that point, make the switch. He's been there before. He's hot. He's not hot. He's pulled. He's back into the game. Work what's good with individual players. So he ain't afraid to get benched if he's, you know, if he's letting in silly goals. So he's been here before. Keep doing it. Whatever gets you guys hot, whatever goaltender at the time, especially if you have experience getting pulled in the past like he has. So I'm all for it.
I always go with history, and at the end of the day, until he proves me otherwise, I have no confidence in what he can do in the playoffs. I watched him shit the bed completely last year, only for Holtby to come with the cape and save the day. And it'll be very interesting. Like I said, I mean, I don't trust him until he shows up in the playoffs, game one, and puts on a show.
Yeah, and then in Vegas, we talk about goaltending. If Fleury is expected to come back, and they expect him to play one more game before the playoffs, which is great news for Golden Knights fans, because you do not want to go in the playoffs, even as good as that team is, with Malcolm Subban in net.
Right.
Fleury is the guy. He's the stud. He's basically the face of the franchise. They need him, and they need him to come back strong, which I think he will. He usually shows up this past couple of years. He's shown up around playoff time. You see him gotten over the bugaboos he had back in the day in Pittsburgh. Speaking of Pittsburgh, let's talk about the East. Gorms, you asked the question, is it truly a three-dog race in the East?
In your guys' eyes, in the East, are there three teams that can win this cup if they're coming out of the East? And, of course, I'm talking about Washington. Of course, I'm talking about Tampa Bay. And, of course, I got to throw in the Pittsburgh Penguins because they are the New England Patriots on the ice. They just win. You don't want to face them. So my question to you guys is Pittsburgh, Washington, Tampa Bay, will anyone win the cup out of the East other than those three?
Well, let's clarify one thing just for the pessimists out there. The Penguins are technically not fully in the playoffs yet. They need another win.
I know. But they got
Detroit
left.
And Rangers, which seem easy on paper, but they just blew into Detroit the other night and put them in this mess. But I think they get in. And no, I don't think it's just three, because I think Boston is just as good, if not better, than a lot of those teams. But the way the playoff format shakes out, can they get through Tampa Bay? I don't know. Thank you. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think I'm big on history repeating itself. And until you knock off the guys on top, it's – You got to roll with those guys. I think Boston's included in that. I think it's between those four teams. I think you're right in that. But the Islanders kind of came out of nowhere this year. They've had a great run. We'll see how they play in the playoffs. I mean, it's probably going to be Pittsburgh and them in the first round. So that'll be a hell of a test.
Let me mention
forward.
Carolina in there too, because we'll get buried on social media if we don't mention the Hurricane. So yeah, we're throwing you in there. I don't know if you're one of the top three teams that can win it, but we're watching you. Our eyes are on you, Carolina fans.
Yeah, Carolina's making noise, but I don't know if they have what it takes to make a deep run. Pittsburgh is getting Malkin back. He's expected to play either this game or the next one. So that's great news. And the matchup on the Islanders. And they're getting Valtteri Filppula back, which, you know, he's not a game changer, but he's a great two-way player. And you look at that matchup, the Islanders have had a hard time scoring. They struggle to create chances. They've had elite goaltending this year, which you need to win, obviously. But if you can't score in the playoffs, it's going to be tough. So we know that's one thing Pittsburgh can do is score. Can they defend well enough? We'll see, because you got a team that can't really score, and you got Pittsburgh who's not the best at defending. Something's got to give there. So one team's going to look much better than they are. And then you bounce around here, Washington. How are we feeling about Washington? I think they're in great shape. It looks like they're going to get home ice and lock up the division. Right. So is Holtby going to be the guy he was last year? That I don't know. Does he have what it takes to do it again? I mean, he's done it once.
And he did it recently, just once. So, yeah, I kind of like where you're going with this. And, yeah, can he be the guy? Hell, yeah. It still remembers that like it was yesterday, the run that they had last year. So I'm all in on Washington.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Washington's playing as good a hockey as they've played in a long time. There's no question about that. But here's a stat for you guys. I got a stat for you guys.
Bring it.
Okay.
So there has never been a team since the very first Stanley Cup to have a winning Stanley Cup team with no one on their team that has previous wins in a Stanley Cup. Tampa Bay has no one on their roster right now that has won a Stanley Cup.
Wow, that's a great stat. Great pull.
That is a wild stat. Great. See, that's pull. News to me. That's something that at the deadline, I would have looked at getting someone, anyone, a vet who has won before, you know?
Yeah.
They have zero.
They got guys who have been through so many playoff battles. They got Ryan Callahan. They got Stamkos, who's been to the finals before. Vasilevsky now has played a couple playoff series. He, you know, his feet are wet. He should be ready to go. Hedman's played in a bunch of playoff series now. I mean, they've been there, but they've never won. They had Kunitz last year, and they let him go. But it may have been smart to go out and try and get one more veteran guy who's won before. Just to, you know, walk in the locker room with that ring on. Let everyone get a taste of that, see what that's like. Kind of inspire the guys a little
bit. I mean, how are these guys? They have nothing to fall back on as far as experience goes. Nothing. And I know they got 124 points this year, but you mean to tell me in a seven-game series against Washington or the Penguins that these guys won't be puckered up because they're in a situation they've never been in before? You know what NHL playoff hockey is. There's regular season, and then it's amped up times 10 come playoff, and those guys don't have the experience. Keep your eye on that.
Yeah, the pace is next level, and we look at what's going on at the bottom in the East. Columbus and Montreal in the fight for their lives.
Love this fight.
It's funny because I feel like the past couple years, the playoff races have always been a couple of teams in the mix. This is literally a two-team race here for this last wild card spot. I know Carolina is only 1 point ahead with 95, but I think we all feel pretty comfortable that the Hurricanes are going to hold that down and ride it out, lock it up. Now, Columbus and Montreal, this is a complete crapshoot. Both teams with two games left, tied at 94 points. Here it is, gut check time. Who you guys got? I still don't trust Columbus. I think Montreal can get it done.
I trusted them.
I think Columbus they have an easier schedule riding out. I think they got the Rangers and the Senators. I think I looked earlier today, and Canadians got a monster game tonight. I mean, an absolute monster game versus the Capitals. And Capitals are playing as good as anybody right now, and it's like, well, here we go. We're going to find out what we got right now.
This is where you need Carey Price to just stand on his head. Carey Price needs to drop acid tonight and just look like an octopus out there with eight arms stopping every puck thrown his way.
And two things on Columbus. I didn't like what you did before the trade deadline. You opened up your wallet. You emptied it out. You guys are still fighting for a playoff spot right now. I don't like that. And two, in my NHL playoffs, I want to be represented by Montreal in the playoffs, not Columbus, Ohio. I'm an NHL historian. Sue me. I don't care.
That's the least surprising thing I've heard all day. Okay, here it is. Is it worth it for Columbus if they get in and do a one-and-done series? Let's say they get in as the AC, they play Tampa, and they get smacked. No. It's a five-game series or so.
We talked about this, Nick. We talked about this a month ago. You made those moves to make some hay. You made those moves so you guys can lift the cup. If they're one-and-done, it's the same thing as not making the playoffs.
And I'm pretty sure, like, at the deadline, I think they had a playoff spot at the deadline, right? I mean,
they were sitting comfortable.
And then they went on a huge slide since acquiring these guys. And so I think the next question is Torts gone? Is Torts gone if they don't make the playoffs?
That's a real legitimate question. And, I mean, it's not even with Torts. If they don't make the playoffs, Jarmo Kekäläinen, the GM, who's done a pretty good job since being there, questions are going to start. He's going to start to feel the heat a little bit. You know, that seat's going to warm up. I'm not saying he's going to get fired, but the people are definitely going to start looking his way, being like, okay, what was the point here? You went out and you loaded up and then you just collapsed. And maybe it's unfair to blame him because he went out and he acquired guys to help. And the locker room, I don't know. I'm not in there. We don't have sources in there. We don't know what it's like in there. But it seems like the guys didn't respond as well as you would have thought to being having these elite level players brought in. I know any other time when you go out, and AQ, you can probably speak to this, as a locker room, when your front office brings in guys like that at a deadline or in that situation, kind of a big boost of confidence to you, right? It's like, hey, we believe in you guys. We think you can win. Here's a little extra help.
100%. Anytime you make a move to help your team get better, the guys respond. I remember a couple years ago, we were beat up at running back, and we brought in Adrian Peterson, and like his first game playing the whole year, he's, you know, everybody's like, oh, he doesn't have it anymore. He's old. And we just went out and played our asses off. He ran for 125 yards and a touchdown, and we win the game. And it's like, we were struggle city at that point. And you get him, you get this boost of confidence of a guy that, hey, your organization says, hey, we want to win now. We want to go get this guy, and we got to make a move to get better. And they do it, and bam, you see results instantly. And we just haven't seen that from Columbus. So it's, you do have to question whether it's leadership, whether what's going on the inside. And they have played better as of late. We get that. And, you know, the guys that they've brought in have started to put some points together. And, but at the end of the day, like it, when push comes to shove, it's playoff time. There's three games to go, and you're getting blown out, you know, last game. So yeah. What are we doing here?
Real quick, Nick, it's like this. You're in the playoffs at the trade deadline. You're out of the playoffs at the end of regular season. Guess who's taking the brunt of that, and guess who has the owner's ear? The GM has the owner's ear, not the head coach. I'm not saying they don't talk, but when it comes to closed-door meetings, the GM and the owner say, hey, what's going on? We brought in these guys. We opened our wallet. Now we're not making a push or a first-round exit. Same thing. Torts is gone if they don't make second or third round or go to the cup this year. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, and then I think you bring in Matt Duchene, and you know you're probably going to lose Panarin in the offseason. So I think the line of thinking there was probably like, okay, if we lose Panarin, we brought in Duchene, maybe we get him signed to an extension. I can't see a way Matt Duchene re-signs there if they don't make the playoffs or either a first-round exit. I just don't see it. I think he's earned that right to get the UFA. I think he's going to go take a look and go to the highest bidder. Quick transition real quick. We're talking a lot of playoffs here. Let's talk about someone who's not going to the playoffs. Some news this week from the Edmonton Oilers, and this was just mind-boggling to me. So the team president, I think his name is Bob Nicholson, comes out, and he basically just bashes one of his own guys, okay? Tobias Reeder. Now, we heard Connor McGregor the other day. We heard Connor
McDavid. I love McGregor that he's on your mind, though, right now. Oh, the notorious.
Connor McDavid the other day coming out saying the frustration level is really, really high. It's through the roof over there. This was their exact words. We don't even have a GM. We have a lot of crap to figure out. I hope we can put the right man in the spot and can put together a good team. We let losing streaks drag on. We let times where we weren't able to find wins drag on. You have to find a way to stop the bleeding quick. Now, back to Bob Nicholson and Tobias Reeder. Reeder, if you don't know, he has 87 shots this season, which isn't a ton, but he has zero goals.
Zero.
Zero. Craig Adams, the last guy to do this, 84 shots in 2009, 2010. And then Dallas, Valeri Nichushkin, who was a sniper when he came into the league, he's a Russian kid, has 65 shots and no goals this season. Interesting fun fact about him, he's also got no penalty minutes in 57 games. So in 57 games, he's got 65 shots, no goals, and no penalty minutes. That's never
been better. Not even mixing it up. I don't like it. Get him out of there.
Yeah. That is the definition of just floating, taking up space, just being a body on the ice.
Unbelievable.
So the team president just rips this guy, okay? He comes out and he says he was a player that other teams wanted. He came here for 1 year because he wanted to play with Leon Draisaitl, who he plays with on the German national team. He thought if he wasn't playing with him, he'd be playing with Connor, obviously. He'd score 15 or 16 goals instead of making $2 million. He'd sign a four-year deal. It's the classic, like, prove a contract, come here, score a couple goals, you get the long-term deal. He hasn't scored a goal. He said he's missed so many breakaways. If he'd scored 12 to 14 goals, we'd probably made the playoffs. How absurd is it to put that kind of statement and that kind of pressure on this kid? You're telling me if this kid scores 12 more goals that the Edmonton Oilers are a playoff team? You're out of your fucking mind.
Hey, man, whatever it takes to, you know, blow some smoke up these guys' rear ends and get them skating. I don't know what the hell I don't know what the kid's thinking. I'm all for management on this side, on this thing. If he had to go.
You're for management?
I am.
Granted, he's had a rough year. He hasn't scored, right? But it's not like you brought this guy in thinking he was going to score 30. If your expectation is that he's going to score 12 and he scores zero.
Zero.
That's not.
I'm gonna say this
from a playoff team though.
Zero.
From a player's perspective, I have to say that the minute you're called out in public by management, people who never really put on a uniform and stepped on the ice, you lost the respect of everybody in that locker room. Everybody. Instantly. And especially by putting that type of pressure, by saying that like one guy in particular is responsible for a playoff run. Like that's absolutely absurd.
One guy who's a bottom six forward, and AQ, you talk about the locker room, which is damaging enough. Like, good luck ever signing a free agent again. I mean, who the hell wants to come there when they know they're going to get blasted if they don't score fucking 12 goals?
But hey, he's putting that roster on. He's putting that roster on call, though. If you screw up, you're going to hear it from the brass upstairs. I mean, I'm not against it. They're not, you know. I'm just not against it. He's a guinea pig in this thing, but that locker room is listening.
Hey, that's
I'm completely okay getting called out, but you got to get called out in the right way. You got to get called out by getting called to your office. You got to get called out where it's not a public shaming almost.
Oh, so that was obviously surprising. That shocked me. I was floored when I saw that. But something else here. Let's get into this. I want to know your guys' biggest surprise of the year for you as we wrap up the season here.
Okay.
What really got you?
Okay, two things that really got me. Still blown away the Vegas Golden Knights and their continuance of dominating. I mean, playing great hockey. A team that isn't, you know, has been an NHL team for 2 years, still doing what they're doing. Obviously, we saw what they did last year. Nobody expected that. And they continue to win, continue to do it the right way. Shocked at that on the good side. On the bad side, the Buffalo Sabres. What are you doing? This is the same team that rattled off 10 in a row in the last part of 2018. This is a horrible hockey team. And Phil Housley, I'm talking to you. I know you're an NHLer. I know you are, Phil Housley, but you're not doing anything the right way out there. Okay, last year, 25-45. This year, so far, a six-game improvement to 31-39. They have been awful in 2019. Terrible. Cannot win games in a month. Awful. I don't know what's going on with Buffalo. Shocked at you guys, but on the flip side, Vegas Knights, good run.
Hey, Buffalo flew out of the gate there too. Earlier this season, hotter. They were looking like a power, like a fucking dominant force. And then, well, I don't know what happened, but it just all went to shit.
Awful.
AQ, biggest surprise this year.
Yeah, I'll go with the Islanders. I think that's probably the biggest thing that surprised me. I think after Tavares left, I could be, you know, one of a few, but I feel like most everybody thought, you know, there's no chance, like after they lost him, that they were going to be any good this year. And they come out on fire, and now they're pretty much locking up the second seed coming out of the Metro. And I think you got to give a ton of credit to Barry Trotz. I think he's done a fantastic job with that team. And, you know, I think on this side, I think Arizona was a surprise of how well they did. I don't think you expected them to do so well coming here. But then once you saw success, once they tasted a little success, you expected them to make that move because they were right there. They had prime position to get there. And I think the thing that has really surprised me recently is how poorly they've played with the playoffs on the line.
Couldn't have said it better myself, my friend. For me personally, biggest surprise of the season, I'm going with right now we have five 100-point scorers in the NHL. When just a few short years ago, we had the leading scorer, Jamie Benn, I think finishing the season with 86, 87 points, and everyone thought that scoring was done. Here we are. Offense is back, baby. Kucherov, 125. McDavid, 115. Patrick Kane, 107. Draisaitl, 102. Marchand, 100. Three of those guys aren't even going to the playoffs, and they're still putting up 100 points.
Hey, good sport. Love it. Let's keep going. More goals, more people love it.
And we might get more. Johnny Gaudreau's got 98. Nathan McKinnon sitting at 97. Stamkos at 95. Crosby at 95. A couple of those guys have big nights here in the last two games. A couple 100-point scores, man. I'm just glad to see it that the offense is back and we're not suppressing, clutching, holding, interfering, all that dumb bullshit anymore. This is what makes the game great. People want to see the pucks go in the net. Mm-hmm. And I know it's not like the 80s. You know, we're not getting the 8-7 games every night. I'm fine with that. There's still a good amount of defense in the game. I think it's at a really, really good place right now.
And you know what's even better than that? Next time this trio gets together next week, it will be officially playoff hockey time.
You're goddamn right. Best time of the year. Sun's out. You're going outside. You're drinking a beer. I say this all the time, but it's my favorite thing. You take the TV out on the front porch. You kick your feet up and watch some goddamn playoff hockey. All right. Let's wrap it up here. I got a listener question here. Let me find it. Okay, this is from the @thePostalJoe on Twitter. He goes, it's a chase for the playoffs right now, but my team and Hey Gorman's team, the Red Wings, are out of the playoffs. They're super young. They've won 8 of 9 games. They're flying around having fun. How much longer before they make the playoffs again? Gorms, what are you thinking?
When they make the playoffs, I got to throw them in next year. Gave an extension to head coach Blaisdell for another 2 years on it. Don't know what's going on with Kenny Hyland as far as the GM goes, because Steve Yzerman has moved back to the state of Michigan. Obviously, he's up without a job after leaving the Tampa Bay position. So a lot of offseason question marks. But, yeah, they're doing the right thing. And, of course, you can build it around Dylan Larkin. Let's go, boys. Playoffs next year, Red Wings.
AQ, any thoughts on the Wings?
I really like the way they play. Never really paid much attention to them until we got a trainer in the training room that just loves the Red Wings. He's from Detroit, went to University of Michigan. So all he talks about, so I start watching him a little bit. The young talent and the young speed on this team is incredible. And watching them against the Penguins, there's a couple times the other night where I thought the Penguins looked like they were standing still. I mean, it was, I mean, especially on like the little, the dump and chase for, I think it was Monta or whatever, and beats the whole defense down and gets the goal. I'm like, man, the speed on these guys is incredible. So I think they got the young nucleus, the young talent. They can build around Larkin, and they get a couple more pieces. I think they're right in the mix.
And again, man, you have to win tonight, Nick. I'm sorry. You have to beat the Red Wings tonight if you're the Pittsburgh Penguins. Have to.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. It's about as close to a do-or-die game as it's going to get. I think they show up. I'd like to, you know, I hope they better fucking show up. But I was just thinking about that goal the other night that I think it was Bertuzzi scored. There was a lob pass, a sauce pass from Mantha over to the middle, and then a backhand pass, and Bertuzzi just roofed one right over Murray.
That was a Berwunzie.
But yeah, the Wings, I think they're in a good spot. I think they need to find their answer in net. Jimmy Howard can't play forever. I think he's 35, 36, just signed a 1-year extension. So he can hold it down for a little bit, but I think they need to find their long-term answer and goal. And maybe they do. I don't know enough about their farm system or the young guys they got coming up. But Detroit, there's one thing about the Red Wings. They always draft well. They always find gems. Kenny Holland's been good at that, and Yzerman has done it in Tampa for years now. Braden Point was a third-round pick.
Right.
He's an absolute stud. So if Yzerman does take the job that we all think he's going to come back there and take, I think they're in great shape, and the future looks bright in Detroit. All right, Gorms, we talked a lot about the East here in the playoffs. So to wrap up the show, let's do what we do, take a look at the playoff matchup. Let's just do the West, and we'll wish everyone a good weekend here.
We'll do the West. The West is quite simple. Colorado's in, Arizona's out, trailing by 4 points, 2 games to go. AQ talked about it earlier. Arizona, you got to get 2 wins and some help from who's ever playing the final 2 games against Colorado. So I think it's over. Arizona, you're out. Colorado is in the West. Playoffs are set.
Okay, so I'm looking here. I just want to look at the standings real quickly. It looks like, too, we got the matchups pretty much figured out unless Nashville can unseat Winnipeg for that first seed in the Central. But it looks like, as it stands right now, you got Winnipeg against Colorado, and then you'll have Nashville and St. Louis squaring off, which we talked about. St. Louis is a dangerous team right now. And then Calgary would take Colorado.
Dallas, correct,
would be Winnipeg. And then we got San Jose and Vegas. And San Jose, with the way they've been limping in, I would take Vegas in a heartbeat.
Don't
to go up.
You dare sleep on those Dallas Stars. Do not sleep on Dallas. Sneaky good. Watch them. Upsets minded throughout the playoffs.
I cannot wait for that Predators Blues series. I cannot wait for it. I watched a bunch of their games during the season. I think 2 or 3 of them went into overtime. They were back and forth games. High goal scoring games, and I think the Blues are playing as good as any team going in the playoffs, and that is a team you do not want to see right now.
Let's go, boys.
All right, that does it here for us today. Next week, playoffs will start. We'll go in. I think let's do we'll give our official predictions next week once we got all this craziness of the road and we're all in kind of as much condensed one spot as we can be. Let's go on record next week. We'll give our official predictions. We'll have a little bit of a head start because some games will probably have started already, but that's fine. You know, we could use a little boost.
Sure.
And then we talked about maybe we do 2 episodes a week coming up for the playoff run. We'll see how it goes. We'll see if we have the time. I'd love to do that. AQ, I know you're a busy man out there. You got a lot going on sitting by the
pool. I got nothing going on. I got OTAs in the morning, but that's about it, guys.
AQ, it might be just you on the mic talking playoffs. Who knows?
Let's do it, man. I got nothing. I'm not doing anything until the mandatory minicamp in June. Until then, I'm just fucking rolling. Let's go.
All right, everybody. Thanks for rocking with us. Please tell your friends Tweet it out, shout it from the rooftop, subscribe, rate, and review. We're on iTunes. Let everybody know if you like what you hear. And if you don't, keep your mouth shut. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. All right. Thanks, everybody.
That's hockey talk.
That's hockey talk.